Turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. You've known me a long time. You think I'm thinking that far ahead? How many of you received the questions? Right, we did that on purpose. We're going to handle, so we're going to do that a little, we're going to do that differently. We'll get there. Turn to the book of 1 Peter. Okay, lots of information to cover, lots to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Now the approach of night, we pray now for this next hour as we will turn our hearts and our thoughts towards your word. Be with us as we study this wonderful book, the book of 1 Peter. Encourage us, bless us, and strengthen our faith through our efforts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The book of 1 Peter. On Wednesday nights, we are doing a survey of the New Testament. And each Wednesday, we are taking a look at a book in the New Testament. And we have come down to the book of 1 Peter. So, we will begin like we have with all of them. I'm going to give you an introduction to the book. Now, in these introductions, I tried to capsulize everything that's in the book through this. All right? So the introduction of 1 Peter. Persecution can cause you to grow or to grumble in your Christian life. That's the choice you make. It's your choice. It all depends on your response. In writing to Jewish believers struggling in the midst of persecution, Peter reminds them of their roots. And their roots are as follows. They had been born again to a living hope. Therefore, both their character and conduct can be above reproach as they imitate the Holy One who called them. The fruit that is proven, the fruit of the proven character will be actions rooted in submission, law-abiding citizens, obedient employees, submissive wives, and loving husbands. Amen. That paragraph is the book of 1 Peter. That paragraph is the book of 1 Peter. And it's not what happens to you, because bad things happen to everybody. Nobody gets out unscathed. And many times we have no control about the bad things that happen to us. The part that we control is our response to what happens to us. And as Christians, we ought to respond with a Christian character. We ought to respond as a people who have a living hope. Now, we want to begin by taking a look at the author. The author is the Apostle Peter. We're going to take a look at 13 things about this author. 13 things about the Apostle Peter, and then we're going to get over to the book. First of all, in chapter 1 and verse 1, it is Peter. He is also called Simon. He is also called Cephas. Now, his name was Simon. His name was Simon. Jesus gave him the name Cephas. Cephas is an Aramaic word. The Greek word Cephas is Petros, which means a stone. When you take, and I'm not trying to be confusing here, when you take the Aramaic word of Cephas and bring it over to the Greek, you get Petros. Then when you take Petros from the Greek and bring it to the English, that's where you get Peter. Okay? So it's Peter. It is also, he is also Simon, and he is also Cephas. Same guy. Number two, he was a fisherman with his brother Andrew. He was a fisherman with his brother Andrew. So his brother was Andrew, and then there was Peter. So it's Peter and Andrew. Let me say this about fishermen. Fishermen were not wealthy in the ancient world. They made a living and they got by, but they were by no means high on the scale, on the social scale. Number three, he was married. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14. We could spend a whole class talking about that. He was married because we are told that he had a mother-in-law. Anybody who'd be dumb enough to take on a mother-in-law without taking on a wife has all kind of issues going on with himself. You're welcome. Amen. Number four, Andrew, his brother, brought him to Jesus. I want you to go back to the Gospel of John chapter 1. I want to show you something, and I don't want you to forget this. John chapter 1. Peter's brother's name was Andrew. John chapter 1, look at verse 40. Are you there? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John, that is John the baptizer, had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he, that is Andrew, brought him, Peter, to Jesus. Now here's the significance of that. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where Andrew preached a sermon. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where Andrew wrote a book. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where Andrew did, you know, hospital or something was named after him. But Andrew, when he found Jesus, the first thing he did was get his brother Peter and bring Peter to Jesus. Here's what I'm telling you. Andrew, everything that his brother Peter did, Andrew gets credit for it because it was Andrew who brought Peter to Jesus. You understand the significance of that? Andrew, listen, I don't know of any. The only other thing I knew Andrew did is he found a kid once with a lunch that had some fish and loaves in it. That's the only other thing I know Andrew did. But the other thing he did was bring Peter to Jesus. Look at what Peter did. And Andrew gets some points for all of that. Listen, when you have no idea the potential that anybody has when you bring them to Christ. You have no idea what potential that person has. Number five, Peter was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. Number six, along with James and John, Peter was part of the inner circle. In other words, there were 12 apostles, but on many, many occasions, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him when he did not take the others. There was this special connection. I'm not saying he loved them more than he did the others. I'm just saying that Peter, James, and John was with Jesus and went with Jesus places that the others did not go. And this happened several times. In Matthew chapter 17, talks about Jesus going up onto the mountain where he was transfigured. He took Peter, James, and John with him. On the last night of his life in Matthew 26, when he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, he brought all of them, but then when they got to the gates of the garden, he took Peter, James, and John on further into the garden. And over again, it was Peter, James, and John who bore this special, I will call it, relationship with Jesus. And Peter was a part of that. Number seven, when they came to arrest Jesus, it was Peter who jumped to Jesus' defense by cutting off the ear of the high priest in John chapter 18. What was the high priest's name? Look at Jamaica. Yes, Marcus. Was it his left ear or right ear? He cut off his right ear. But that was good because you had 50-50 chance, right? Left or right. Number eight, Peter denied Jesus three times. What does that tell you? Everybody's human. Did you hear what I said? Everybody's human. Everybody stumbles. Everybody stumbles. That's why you got to be careful when other people stumble.
Yes. Yes.
You got to be careful how you treat other people when they stumble. Amen. Because one day it's going to be you that stumbles. And when you stumble, you know what you're going to want from others? Mercy. Yes. You're going to want mercy from others. Well, if you want some, then what should you do?
Yes.
Yeah, you should give some. You should give some. Peter denied Jesus three times. And when Jesus said, told Peter what was going to happen, you know, that he was going to go, no, you're not. Oh, no, we're not going to let this happen to you. And then when Peter said, you're going to deny me three times, Peter thought Jesus was crazy. Oh, no, I'd die for you, Lord. Lord, I'd die for you. And then what did he end up doing? Cussing and swearing, I don't know him. To him who think he standeth, what?
Take heed.
Take heed lest he fall. Remain humble. Remain humble. And remain forgiving with other people. One day you're going to need it. Number nine, Peter witnessed the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. That was a sight that changed folks forever, that ascension. The half-brother of Jesus, James, the James who wrote the book of James, is not listed as a believer in the scripture until after that ascension, that resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. I mean, when you stand there and watch him ascend up into heaven, what else you need to see? This is it. Peter witnessed that ascension. Number 10, Peter preached the first gospel sermon under the Christian dispensation. The man who denied Jesus, the man who denied Jesus on the last day of his life, some 50 some odd days later, is standing in the city of Jerusalem looking at the Jewish world and pointing his bony finger at them and telling them, you got to repent, you got to change. See, Peter denied Jesus. All of us will fall. All of us will stumble. But we can all come back if we want to. We can all come back if we want to. Regardless of how flat you fall, God will welcome you back. And God will help you come back. And Peter is the one in the New Testament who will show you that. Number 11. Peter brought the first Gentile converts into the church. Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11. And who was that was brought in? Cornelius and his family and a household of his family and friends. It was Peter who did that. He brought in the first Gentile converts. And again, in Acts 10, the Lord almost had to reconvert Peter to get him to go into that house because he didn't want to go. Number 12, Peter authored 1st and 2nd Peter. Not only did he author 1st and 2nd Peter, but Acts chapter 1 through 12, the first half of the book of Acts tells us about the works of Peter in the church. Also, he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. Half of the book of Acts is about his work. And then in Mark's gospel was written from the viewpoint of the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter had a great influence on Mark and the gospel he wrote. So this first Peter was a great man. I didn't say he was perfect, but he was a great man. And anytime Jesus asked a question, even if Peter had no idea what the answer was, he had an answer for it. And he usually answered it before anybody else. Anytime Jesus threw out a question, well, here, and he talking and saying nothing sometimes. But we all been there. Amen. Number 13, the history tells us that Peter died by being crucified upside down. He was executed by the same Roman emperor who executed the Apostle Paul, and that was Nero. Yes, sir. No, Simon was a zealot, but not Simon Peter. All right? There was another Simon who was a zealot. Listen, the story, and I can't get off on this, but the story of the 12 is amazing. It was amazing. I mean, you had fishermen, you had a tax collector, you had a zealot, you had all of these completely different people. Yeah, he didn't last all the way. Listen, do you understand what a zealot was? A zealot is somebody who had given their lives to overthrowing the Roman Empire. A tax collector, Matthew was a tax collector. A tax collector was somebody who worked for the Roman government. Listen, Simon the zealot and Matthew the tax collector were apostles. Working together. And then you got fishermen and all this other groups being thrown in there. Listen, it was a hodgepodge of a mess. But listen, that doesn't matter if they were united by Christ. And it's like the church. There's all different kind of diversity and ethnic groups. Everybody is different, but they're united with Christ. Now, we got to get to the book, and I'm half gone here. Okay, the recipients of the book. Now we're getting down to the very meat of 1 Peter and what this book is about. They were located in Asia Minor. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout and now Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those were cities that were located in the area of Asia Minor. These congregations in Asia Minor were established by the Apostle Paul during his missionary journeys in the last half of the book of Acts. And like Acts 14 and in Acts 15 is where Paul was going through Asia Minor. So these churches were established by the Apostle Paul during his missionary journeys. Now, years later, Peter is addressing these people, and he is addressing them, and he's writing this book for a very, very specific reason. Number three, the occasion of the letter, and this is the heart of 1 Peter. What was it that caused Peter to sit down when he did and say, okay, this letter's got to go? Persecution is what prompted this letter. Persecution is what prompted this letter. Look at, let's run these verses. Chapter 1 and verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. Chapter 2 and verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Chapter 3 and verse 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Chapter 4 and verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange has happened to you. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. So all of the way through the book, Peter talks about suffering. What brought about the writing of the book of 1 Peter is that these Christians to whom the book was addressed, they were suffering persecution. They were suffering because of their faith. And so Peter is writing this book because of that suffering. That is the it of 1 Peter. On July the 19th, AD 64, was the Great Fire of Rome. The Great Fire of Rome. You say, well, how does that tie into 1 Peter? Here's how it ties into 1 Peter. In AD 64, Nero was the emperor of Rome. Nero was a crazy man. That's putting it mildly. Nero was a crazy man. But Nero's great desire is that he always wanted to be remembered. And so he was going to rebuild Rome, and then he would be remembered forever for doing it. So Nero's plans was to destroy the slums of Rome and then rebuild those slums to his honor. So Nero set fire or had fire set to Rome in the slums. But the fire got out of control. And before the fire was put out, at least one half of Rome was burned to the ground. And some of the most luxurious and some of the greatest parts of Rome were burned in that fire. So the population of Rome began pointing the finger at Nero. So Nero needed a scapegoat. So Nero says, no, it wasn't me, it was the Christians. They did that. Now, when Nero said that, he brought the fury of Rome down on the church, on the Christians. Now, here's how this relates to Peter. Rome is located like here. And where Peter is writing, Asia Minor is like here. So the persecution breaks out in Rome in July of 64. That persecution has now spread out of Rome and has gotten as far down as Asia Minor. You understand what I'm telling you? That's where this persecution was coming from. This persecution had started in Rome because of the great fire of Rome, and Nero had unleashed the fury of Rome against the New Testament church, against these Christians. But now that persecution in Rome has now come down into Asia Minor, and now these Christians to whom Peter is writing this epistle, they are suffering persecution because of what had happened in Rome. Do you understand that?
Yes.
If you understand that, you understand exactly why this book was written. And if all you knew about 1 Peter was that right there, if you go back or if you go home tonight and read this book will make a whole lot more sense to you just because you know that what brought it about was that these people are being persecuted. And so Peter keeps talking about, well, you're suffering and you're persecuted, but that's okay and it's going to be all right. And you're thinking, well, what's going on here? What's going on here is just what I described. It's just what I described. All right, number four is the purpose of the letter. Told you. The purpose of the letter. The letter was written to comfort these Christians at a time of persecution. That's the purpose of it. These folks are under fire. And Peter is writing to help to comfort them. And in other words, life is tough, but hold on. Now God forbid that we ever have to go through what they did or suffer what they did, but we go through times, don't we? Had a friend, he's dead now, but old man, and anytime anybody was going through a hard time, or a difficult situation, he'd tell me. He said, yeah, they're going through a time. His expression, going through a time, meant that they were having it bad. Listen to me. All of us, we all have a time. We all have a time. But I'm telling you what Peter told them, when you have a time, you just hold on to God. Hold on to God. I know how we got it backwards. The devil got it backwards. You know, the devil puts it to us backwards. Well, if God loved you, you wouldn't be having a tough time, so you need to walk away from God. When you walk away from God, you're walking away from help.
When you talk about that time, it reminds me, all things that came from my head. We were going through a gospel meeting, and you were doing the gospel meeting.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And then you came back the next day.
Yes.
I don't see how you did it.
That was the hardest thing I ever did.
Yeah,
well, one of the hardest things I ever did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I had gone to see her that day.
I remember talking.
I went that morning, I drove to Ohio to see her, and then drove back and preached that night, and then she died, and then the following night I preached that following night too. Yeah, it was a time. I also did it because I knew if I said, okay, look, I can't go tonight, I can't do it, that she'd haunt me every night for the rest of my life. So I thought, no, I'm going. Because my sister would have let me go. She would have wanted me to go. Number two, the purpose of the book is to show how Christianity must be practiced even in a hostile world. See, that's it. Just because you're going through a time is no excuse. Quit living Christian life. Look at chapter 2 for a minute. Let's look at chapter 2 for a minute. The purpose of this letter is to help these Christians who are suffering persecution. And the purpose of this letter is to tell these Christians, listen, when life gets tough, you got to still keep living it. You got to keep living the Christian life. These people are in a very hostile world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers of the world, to abstain from selfish desire which war against the soul. Live, now listen to this, live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good works and glorify God in the day that he visits us. Listen, you need to, look, we live and don't understand what that says. When people talk about you, I got a PhD of people talking about me. I don't care. Listen, when people talk about you, just keep doing right. Just keep living right. Because here's how it goes. Somebody will come. Somebody will come to me and say, boy, that Cliff Russell, did you hear what he did? And blah, 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 blah. And so I'm looking at Cliff Russell, and I'm thinking, well, I don't see that. And then they'll come back. Oh, no, Cliff Russell, he did. But I keep looking at him, and I keep watching him. And as time goes by, it gets to the point where I say, you know what? No. No, I'll see that. And that's what Peter says in this verse. Listen, when folks are talking about, just keep doing right and let your life show them over time that what these other knotheads are talking about is that they don't know what they're talking about. Right. Yeah. Well, and anything that gets passed around gets bigger as it goes. You know, it gets bigger as it goes, you know. I mean, it starts off with, you know, he slighted a sister, and then it ends up, you know, he buried Hoffa. I mean, it just keeps going. It just keeps going. Now, listen, living right in a hostile world. All right, keep reading some of this. Verse 13, but I submit yourself to the, for the Lord's sake, to every authority institution of man. Drop down to verse 17. Listen to what he says. Show proper respect for everybody. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Do you know who the king was? Nero. He was a psycho. But he was the emperor. So as the emperor, you honor him as the emperor. He was a kook, but he was the emperor. And so he says, listen, what are you doing? You're living the Christian life in a hostile world. You're living, just listen, if a policeman pulls me over, I have to respect him for who he is. Listen, that doesn't mean he's a better Christian than I am. That doesn't mean he lives better than I am. He may live an awful life, but what does he have? He got that badge. He's got that badge. So you respect that. That's what Paul said in Romans 13. You honor those who are there. They may be a mess. A lot of times they are a mess. But they're still where they're at. That's right. So you respect that. You respect that. God sets people in, God sets people out. You got to read the book of Daniel. Read the book of Daniel. God sets kings in, and when God gets tired of them, he takes them out. And what do you guys say? You ain't never been took out till God takes you out. Okay, now listen, watch this. The purpose of the letter, it was written to comfort the Christians who were being persecuted. The purpose of the letter is just because you're going through a time, just because it's persecution, just because the world isn't treating you right, still live like you ought to live. Respect who you ought to respect and be decent to everybody. Now, they may spit on you, but that's got nothing to do. I can't control what you do to me, but I can control how I respond to what you do to me. The purpose of the book is in chapter 5 and verse 12. Look at chapter 5 and verse 12. Here's the purpose of the book. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother. Now listen to what he says about the book he has written. I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. I have written to you to encourage you. Say, well, what is the purpose of 1 Peter? It's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. Okay? All right, we got to keep going because we got something coming up here. Okay, the pressure and the problem with the letter. Make sure you get this. The pressure and the problem with the letter. Now, the pressure of the letter is in chapter 3 and verse 15. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But in your heart set Christ apart as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is within you. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, did you read that verse? Be ready to give an answer always to anyone who asks you about your faith. But when you answer it, do it with gentleness. Now, here's the deal. The word answer in that verse, 1 Peter 3:15, the word answer there is a courtroom expression. Literally, a courtroom expression. It means to stand in defense of. The background of that verse is that Christians were being dragged into these Roman courts and they were being asked, you tell us why you believe what you believe. And so they were having to answer. That was the pressure that was coming down on them. Chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 goes onto it. Listen. You are under pressure, but Jesus is still your example. Did you hear what I said? Peter is telling him, you are under pressure, but Jesus is still the example. And in chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, he shows where Jesus is the example. So that's the pressure. They were being pressured by the court. Tell us who you are, tell us what you are, and tell us what you do. Peter says, just answer them, but do it with kindness and gentleness. Hate is not a Christian virtue. Pressure. Now, problem. This is a big deal. Now listen to this. This is a big deal. The problem in the book of 1 Peter is a new problem. Rome, in the early days of the church, when the church first began, the first few years, Rome had favored the church. They tolerated the church. They even defended, the government even would come in and defend Paul on occasion. Acts 13 and verse 7, Acts 12, Acts 18 are examples where crowds were going to persecute Peter. But the Roman soldiers and others come in and said, no, you're not going to do that. So listen, the problem, Roman favored church in the early days, and I give you four examples there. But now things have changed. Now things have changed. Because now Nero, the emperor, has unleashed the Roman government's fury on the New Testament church. So, the new problem there was a problem between church and state. The problem between church and state. The state had favored the church for a while, but now that's changed. And Nero executed Paul by beheading him. And Nero executed Peter by crucifying him upside down. So now it was so that you understand, this is a big deal because it's a new problem. This had not been a problem earlier on. The religious leaders had been a problem early on. Everybody understand that? You got that? Okay. The theme of the letter. You'll never guess what the theme of the letter is. I bet it's got something to do with persecution. The theme of the letter is hope in the midst of suffering. The purpose of, the theme of 1 Peter is to give strength to the church that is undergoing persecution. Listen, when you are in the midst of having your life dismantled, there's still hope. And that's so easy to say when your life is not being dismantled. But Peter's telling them. They're going through things, God forbid, that we don't ever go through. That people in this room won't go through. There's hope in the midst of suffering. It's bad, but it's going to get better. Because God is still on the throne. And what and if you suffer persecution, listen, you're just going through what Jesus went through. I mean, look what they did to him. And you upset because somebody calls you a Jesus girl. Right? I mean, we're all bitten, twisted, out of shape. But, well, look at that Jesus girl. Isn't that right, Mamie? Look at you. Look at you. I like that hat, too. Look like, who's a famous artist? Leonardo Van Gogh. Yeah, there you go. There go Van Gogh right there. All right. Lessons to remember. We got to go through these because we still got something coming. Lessons to remember. Number one, the Christian hope is a living hope. Listen to me. And that Christian hope is as relevant today as it was in Peter's day. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3. Chapter 1 and verse 3. It is in great mercy you have given to us a new birth unto a living hope. Brethren, we have a living hope. We don't have a dead hope. We have a living hope. Number 2. Trials are refining furnace, is a refining furnace for one's faith. Look at chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kind of trials. Listen to me. These, what is these? The trials that have come on you. These have come. So that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Listen, nobody wants to suffer. Are we glad we suffer? No. But when we do suffer, get the purpose of it. There's something to be learned. Listen. This will shock some of you. Gold does not come from a jewelry store. Gold comes from the ground. Did you know that? Do you know you just don't go on to Amazon and say, well, here it is? Gold comes from the ground. And when you dig it up, it's nasty. So how do you purify that gold? fire purifies God. Now, when I say fire, I don't mean take it home, put it on the stove fire, because that fire ain't fire enough. But when the impurities of that gold get under heat, fire that's hot enough, the impurities will come off of it, and all that will be left is pure, solid gold. Our faith gets messed up. But when we go through the furnace of affliction, when our faith hits the fire, if we go into it right, that suffering will drive the impurities from our faith, so that when we come out the other side, our faith will be pure and it will be solid. Woo! Yeah, don't think it's strange. Listen, you're not the only ones that had a tough time. You're not the only, you know, and people will say that. Well, ain't nobody suffering like me. No, nobody except everybody else in the world. Amen. Everybody has a tough time. All right? But that, listen, it's purifying your faith. It's purifying your faith. There's a commentary on Revelation, and the title of the commentary is Hallelujah Anyway. And that's what it is. Those Christians were suffering, being killed, and being slaughtered. Listen, Hallelujah Anyway. Hallelujah Anyway. All right, we got to keep going. Number three, God expects his children to be holy as he is holy. Listen, holy means we have been separated, we have come apart from the world of sin, and we have been separated to serve God. So that's what it is, holy. You'll know in a minute why I'm in a hurry. Number four, no Christian is born full grown. We all begin as babes. We are babes in Christ. Did you hear what I said? You don't expect from a one-year-old what you expect from a 40-year-old. So what does that mean? You got to have patience with babes. You have to have patience with babies. And babies will get on your last nerve. But you have to have patience with them. People, we begin as babes and we grow. You say, well, you know, a person who's been a Christian for 6 months isn't going to know everything you know, and you've been a Christian for 25 years. They may not know they shouldn't be smoking that yet. They may not know they shouldn't be drinking that yet. They may not know that they shouldn't be going to certain places they're going yet. Amen. So you help them. You help them. Remember when you first a Christian? You messed up a few times yourself. You're welcome. Number five. We must never use our faith as a cloak of wickedness. Don't dress up your faith like something it isn't. Don't dress up your faith like something it isn't. Yeah. You a devil and you try to cloak it with Jesus. Number six, Christian wives can win their unbelieving mates by adorning themselves with a meek and a quiet spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and I don't have time to go through all of this, Peter brings up a very unusual case in the ancient world. He talks about wives who are Christians who married men who are not Christians. That was unheard of in the ancient world. A wife did what she was told by her husband. But he addresses women who step from that. They are Christians. Their husbands are not Christians. So that wife could not go home and say, you listen to me, you're going to do this. You didn't do that in the ancient world. Listen to me. Under the Roman Empire, a woman was not a person. They were not a person. They were the property of their husband. So that's a unique situation. So that if she can't go in and do that, then how is she going to win him? By the way she lives her life. By the way she lives her life. That's how she's going to win him. Number 7, God's care over us is constant. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We read that and then go home and worry about it. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares. There's not one part of your life that God doesn't care about. Well, if God cares, then what are you worrying about? You think God can't carry your load? Oh, y'all got quiet then. Number 8, every Christian is being stalked by Satan. And listen to me, if the devil isn't bothering you, you're going in the wrong direction. If the devil isn't bothering you, that's because you're walking side by side with him and not against him. Amen? Amen. That's exactly it. So, well, the devil bothering me, then shout glory to God. You must be going in the right direction then. Right? You must be going in the right direction. Okay. We got 3 minutes. We're going to do this. Remember the questions at the beginning of class? Those questions are now going to be at the end of the class. But the questions now, the 3 questions at the end of the class, those 3 questions are going to be based on what the class was now. So you're not going to go home and Google something. We've already done this. This is a test. This is a test. We're going to see now who listens.
Give it to us.
Oh, here it is. Questions on 1 Peter. There's 3 of them. And we've talked about all 3 of them tonight. Ooh, you scared, aren't you? You ought to be scared. Number 1. By what other names was Peter known? Give me one. What other name? Give me one more name. Cephas. And Simon. Cephas and Simon. Look, y'all did pretty good, did you? Mamie, I didn't hear you, though. Did you see it? Number 2. What was the occasion that prompted the letter of 1 Peter? Persecution. That's what you got to remember. Persecution. These people were being persecuted, and Peter is writing them to encourage them. Listen, hold on to the faith. Hold on to the faith. Okay? Question number 3. Watch this. Bam! What is the living hope of every Christian? Christ. The living hope of every Christian also is heaven. The living hope of every Christian is heaven. All right? How many of you got all 3 of them? Or you knew all 3 of them? How many of you just lied by raising your hand? Yeah, let me tell you something. If you just raised your hand and lied, you ain't got no hope. Your living hope just died while you sat there in that pew. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Y'all a mess. Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word encourages us and can and will encourage us when our life gets off the rails. So help us. Help us to stay with you in good times. And help us to stay with you when times aren't good. Bless us as we depart this place. Watch over us. Keep us from sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be dismissed. Thank you for coming. Next Wednesday, Lord willing, 2 Peter. 2 Peter.